We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
No sports, no rock, no information for mindless chatter. We're your station.
Stand by for news.
News on the mark.
Newsroom in New York.
You have tuned in turn on the news, the weekly newscast from the radio network, with all the radio coverage of the radio. Now with computerized news readers, with fewer meddling humans, and more aggregated reporting and automated music. Tune in turn on the news each week for the latest news, radio art, and more from our robot reporters, making sure you hear both sides, good and evil, every time you turn on the news.
And then I just, there's good news. Good evening.
After three hearings documenting the horrors of January 6th, the attacks on officers, the threats against Mike Pence's life, and 24 hours after the January 6th committee showed that Donald Trump was told what he was asking of his vice president was illegal, Trump today denied the undeniable facts, saying only a, quote, small number of people went to the Capitol that day, and many did nothing wrong.
It was a simple protest. It got out of hand.
Stop! urge all of those watching today to focus on the evidence the committee will present. Don't be distracted by politics. This is serious. We cannot let America become a nation of conspiracy theories and thug violence.
It's true, because if we do, the reptilians who run the New World Order will steal our spines to use as radio towers to broadcast our location to Bill Gates.
We've got lots of theories, we just don't have the evidence.
Today, Congress dropped episode 3 of the January 6th committee hearings.
In a meeting in the Oval Office on January 4th, the lawyer pushing the plan to have Pence overturn the election, a guy named John Eastman, admitted that his plan would violate the law, according to a deposition from a Pence lawyer named Greg Jacob. Here's what Jacob had to say in that deposition about Eastman admitting in front of Trump that his plan would break the law.
Did John Eastman ever admit, or, you know, in front of the president, that his proposal would violate the Electoral Count Act?
I believe he did on the 4th.
So that means Trump knew it was illegal. Even his own pro-coup lawyer admitted it was illegal. And yet he still tried to threaten and coerce Pence into doing it to the point where he basically sicked a violent mob on Pence to get him to do it. I'm no lawyer, but how is that not an indictable offense? And by the way, this comes on top of all the evidence already provided by the first two hearings that Trump and everyone around him knew his stolen election claims were false and that they were just fabricated pretexts for a premeditated plan to overturn the election.
All the lawyers knew that overturning the election was a crime. They all told each other that they knew it was a crime. They all told everybody in the White House it was a crime, including the president. They told him, sir, it's a crime. He said, thank you for clearing that up. Now let's go do that crime. Some of the crimes described today were procedural and constitutional, a little light sedition among friends. Some of them were more straightforward, like, what's the word? Trying to murder Mike Pence. And the first part of today's hearing focused on the now infamous plan to have Pence just reject Biden's electors out of hand. That was conducted by John Eastman. According to the committee today, Eastman knew his theory was complete BS. And to prove that, they called Pence's former lawyer, Greg Jacob. Now, Mr. Jacob recalled what he said to Eastman about a vice president being able to name who won the election.
John, back in 2000, you weren't jumping up and saying Al Gore had this authority to do that. You would not want Kamala Harris to be able to exercise that kind of authority in 2024 when I hope Republicans will win the election, and I know you hope that too, John. And he said, absolutely. Al Gore did not have a basis to do it in 2000. Kamala Harris shouldn't be able to do it in 2024, but I think you should do it today.
Well, it's just a classic case of do as I say, not as I coo. Then they played footage of Jacob explaining what the president knew about the crime and when he knew it.
Did John Eastman ever admit, or, you know, in front of the president, that his proposal would violate the Electoral Count Act?
I believe he did on the 4th.
Okay, the 4th. But that's two whole days before the 6th. And everyone knows the president's got the memory of a goldfish who played in the NFL. You can't judge him for that. Now, I will say this. I will say this about John Eastman. He was a consensus builder.
Do you know if Mr. Clark or Mr. Morgan thought about that, Mr. Eastman's advice?
Yeah, they thought he was crazy. I know for a fact that I heard both say that his theory was crazy.
I said, you're completely crazy.
That was certifiably crazy.
Crazy. I'm crazy.
Yes. John Eastman got a rare 100% on Crazy Tomatoes. The committee also heard from former federal judge and William Shatner melting on a hot sidewalk. J. Michael Luttig. Judge Luttig is one of the most widely respected conservative legal scholars in the country, and today he laid out the stakes of this attempted coup.
The foundational truth is the rule of law. That foundational truth is, for the United States of America, the profound truth. that it's not merely the profound truth for the United States. It's also the simple truth, the simple foundational truth of the American Republic.
Judge Luttig was unequivocal about Eastman's plan.
I would have laid my body across the road before I would have let the vice president overturn the 2020 election on the basis of that historical precedent.
Then the committee moved on to the second part of their argument, that despite Pence's refusal to go along with the plot, the former president kept pushing pressure on him. People in the Oval Office on January 6th recalled a tense phone call between the former president and his Veep.
And at some point, it started off as a calmer tone and everything, and then became heated.
The conversation was pretty heated.
I remember hearing the word wimp. Either he called him a wimp. I don't remember if he said, you are a wimp, you'll be a wimp. Wimp is the word I remember.
Yes, and this is true. I'm being told that the Late Show audio video squad has used cutting-edge computer technology to recreate the conversation between the former president and Mike Pence. At one point, Ivanka's former chief of staff described the salty language the former president used.
Did Ms. Trump share with you any more details about what had happened, or any details about what had happened in the Oval Office that morning?
The word that she relayed to you that the president called the vice president, I apologize for being impolite, but do you remember what she said her father called him?
The P word.
Good thing Pence wasn't in person, or the president would have tried to grab him. To understand just how much danger the former president put his vice president in, the committee showed some dramatic footage of the crowd on January 6th. Now, Mike Pence obviously couldn't respond to that. He is staunchly against anyone coming out. Even though the president knew the rioters were in the building howling for Pence's blood, he still put out another tweet that further inflamed the mob, who shortly thereafter got very, very close to catching the vice president.
Vice President Pence and his team ultimately were led to a secure location where they stayed for the next 4.5 hours. Barely missing rioters a few feet away.
Approximately 40 feet. That's all there was. 40 feet between the vice president and the mob.
40 feet. Today we learned that when the dust settled, Eastman knew just how screwed he was.
In fact, just a few days later, Dr. Eastman emailed Rudy Giuliani and requested that he be included on a list of potential recipients of a presidential pardon. Dr. Eastman's email stated, quote, I've decided that I should be on the pardon list, if that is still in the works.
Hey, y'all, it's John Eastman. What up? Listen, no biggie, but remember that pardon list y'all were talking about? I think it might be kind of fun to put my name on there, because I've been poking around in some legal books, and it turns out breaking the law is against the law. And we did try to bring down democracy and meow, meow, meow. Anyway, if it's no biggie, I totally get it, but maybe we could be cellmates, LOL, TTFN. But here's the thing, Eastman did not get his pardon, so he's not taking any chances. To just about every question asked by the committee when he was called in, he gave the same answer.
I assert my Fifth Amendment right against being compelled to be a witness against myself. Fifth.
Got it. Quick follow-up. On a scale of 1 to 5, fifth being the absolute worst, where would you fall?
Fifth.
Got it. Okay, right. One more, if you don't mind, sir. A couple more follow-up questions. What's the best Fast and Furious movie?
Fifth.
Fast Five, a classic. Finally, sir, what size bottle of bourbon do you drink at night to forget your central role in the darkest day in our Capitol's history?
Fifth.
Eastman. I don't remember why he called me, he texted me or called me, wanted to talk with me, and he said he couldn't reach others. And he started to ask me about something dealing with Georgia and preserving something potentially for appeal. And I said to him, "Are you out of your effing mind?" Right? I said, "I only want to hear two words coming out of your mouth from now on: orderly transition." And he screamed and said, "I don't want to hear any other effing words coming out of your mouth, no matter what, other than orderly transition. Repeat those words to me." And I screamed and said, eventually he said, "Orderly transition." I said, "Good, John. Now I'm going to give you the best free legal advice you're ever getting in your life. Get a great effing criminal defense lawyer. You're going to need it." And then I hung up on him.
Now, as we've explained, Eastman is obviously a key figure in the coup attempt. For example, even though Eastman apparently admitted that his plan would break the law, Trump still tried to get Pence to go through with Eastman's plan in a heated Oval Office meeting where Trump kept telling Pence to listen to Eastman.
Stunning new details on Donald Trump's efforts to overturn the 2020 election from the new book Peril by Bob Woodward and Robert Costa. The authors report on a two-page memo drafted by John Eastman. John Eastman is a conservative lawyer who was working for Trump's legal team. It amounts to a blueprint for a coup. NBC News has later obtained the memo. It outlines how Pence was to have disrupted the certification of the Electoral College results and handed the election to Trump. Trump tells Pence this about Eastman, quote, "You really need to listen to John. He's a respected constitutional scholar. Hear him out. Listen. Listen to John."
He is not a respected constitutional scholar. No respected constitutional scholar would ever be caught dead working for a famously corrupt idiot like Donald Trump. Trump gets all his lawyers from bus stop ads and TV commercials. "Hey, you want to do a coup? Call Eastman and Giuliani. We don't have a phone number, but you can find us at our office in the woods at Central Park. Even though the cops are always hassling us. We need a permit for a desk in the park now? All right." And even in advance of today's hearing, we kept getting more and more details about the scope of this coup attempt and who was involved. For example, we found out yesterday that Ginni Thomas, the wife of Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, had a direct contact with Eastman, and that the January 6th committee has obtained those emails.
The Washington Post is reporting tonight the January 6th committee has obtained email correspondence between Virginia Ginni Thomas, the wife of Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, and lawyer John Eastman, who played a key role in efforts to pressure Vice President Mike Pence to block the certification of Joe Biden's victory.
The spouse of a sitting Supreme Court justice was apparently in direct communication with the key figure in the planning of a coup. That seems like a pretty clear conflict of interest. I'm not saying justices' spouses should always come into play or be scrutinized, but in this case, it seems pretty clear. I mean, Ginni Thomas also reportedly pressured Arizona lawmakers to overturn their state's results and texted Trump's chief of staff, Mark Meadows, about a bunch of truly insane election fraud conspiracy theories. How can the Supreme Court just ignore that? In fact, the text to Meadows in particular are truly shocking. At one point, Thomas wrote to Meadows, "Watermarked ballots in over 12 states have been part of a huge Trump and military white hat sting operation in 12 key battleground states." And in another, she quoted a passage that had circulated on right-wing websites: "Biden crime family and ballot fraud co-conspirators, elected officials, bureaucrats, social media censorship mongers, fake stream media reporters, etc., are being arrested and detained for ballot fraud right now and over the coming days, and will be living in barges off Gitmo to face military tribunals for sedition." And then again, she texted Meadows, "Do not concede. It takes time for the army who is gathering for his back." Whoa! Those texts make Mike Lindell sound like a level-headed businessman. "That lady is crazier than a house rat, and I should know because you should hear the things the rats whisper to me when I'm sleeping under the stairs." Now, here's the thing. I know those texts all sound insane to you, but it's important to remember they really are insane. I think my favorite part is when she says the Biden crime family and ballot fraud co-conspirators will be living in barges off Gitmo. Obviously, all this stuff is bonkers, but I am curious about one thing. Why would they live in a barge off Gitmo? Like, why wouldn't they just be sent to Gitmo? Why would Trump, who I guess, I don't know, would be the supreme leader in this scenario, incur the extra cost of running a barge offshore? I mean, you got staff, maintenance, you got weather concerns. Why wouldn't he just put them in a cell inside Gitmo and save himself all that? And why am I pitching ideas on this? This is how they get you, isn't it? By the way, just last month, Clarence Thomas gave a speech where he said that the judiciary is threatened if people are unwilling to live with outcomes we don't agree with, as well as saying it can't be that institutions give you the outcome you want or can be bullied to do the same. And that was him bitching that someone leaked a draft opinion that would overturn Roe v. Wade. Meanwhile, his wife is burning through her cell phone data plan, texting everyone in her contacts list that it's time for an army to gather because the election didn't break her way. We need to live with outcomes we don't agree with. Now let's get those barges ready for the Bidens! Whoa! Cool down, Ginny! Once again, these hearings had provided more damning evidence that Trump and his cronies knew what they were doing, would violate the law, and tried to do it anyway. It was a detailed, orchestrated plan for a coup, and they almost got away with it. Again, I'm no lawyer, but if you genuinely think Trump didn't commit a crime, all I can say is...
Are you out of your effing mind?
Hey, are you a lawyer trying to swing a losing election in your favor by assembling a team of fake electors? Then come on into Fast Earl's Fake Elector Depot, where we sell only the finest in blow-up electors. Here's how they work. Simply show up where the contest is being decided, plug it in, and have it do your bidding. Look how excited he is. He wouldn't be dancing if you lost. Perfect for any competition you failed to win. From the local science fair to the presidential election. And in the very good chance you go to jail for election fraud, then pick up one of our deluxe prison inflate mates. He'll get you off, but not for good behavior. Warning, prison inflate mate, not shit resistant.
We heard testimony from Arizona Speaker of the House, Rusty Bowers. Bowers, lifelong Republican, testified that he faced massive pressure from Rudy Giuliani and other Giuliani lackeys demanding that he flip the state, which he knew he had no right to do. And here's why they thought Bowers should cooperate.
He would say, aren't we all Republicans here? I would think we would get a better reception. I mean, I would think you would listen a little more open to my suggestions that we're all Republicans.
The former president and the former Rudy Giuliani promised Bowers that they would eventually get him proof of this supposed voter fraud they kept talking about, but they never did. Then Bowers gave this revealing quote from Rudy.
My recollection, he said, we've got lots of theories, we just don't have the evidence. And I don't know if that was a gaffe or maybe he didn't think through what he said, but both myself and others in my group, the three in my group and my counsel, both remembered that specifically, and afterwards we kind of laughed about it.
Pressure on Bowers caused him some real soul searching, and today he read an emotional journal entry from The Time.
I do not take this current situation in a light manner, a fearful manner, or a vengeful manner. I do not want to be a winner by cheating. I will not play with laws I swore allegiance to, with any contrived desire towards deflection of my deep foundational desire to follow God's will as I believe he led my conscience to embrace.
Then we got to hear from Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger. You may recall that on January 2nd, 2021, the former president held an hour-long call with Raffensperger where he bluntly requested some election skullduggery.
So what are we going to do here, folks? I only need 11,000 votes. Fellas, I need 11,000 votes. Give me a break.
That is just pathetic. He's literally begging them to invent votes for him. It's like watching an old man try to mooch an extra pancake at the Denny's. What are we doing here, folks? I only need one more pancake, fellas. And then I got a grand slam. Just flap some jacks on there, okay? Give me a break. Give me a break. And the state of Georgia. Committee also had text messages to one of Mike Pence's aides sent from an aide to Senator Ron Johnson. The details are about Johnson trying to get a list of fake alternate electors into Pence's hands. But what jumped out to me when I saw it this afternoon was that the treasonous text chain started simply with, sup. Pretty chill way to overthrow democracy. Sup. OMG. Let's totes seat alternate electors for the lols. Now, one of the most heartbreaking witnesses of the day was Georgia election worker Wandrea Shea Moss, who was hatefully and unfairly attacked by the former president and his goons. In a web video, Giuliani accused Moss and her mother of a variety of falsehoods, and of course, there was a normal, sober explanation.
In one of the videos we just watched, Mr. Giuliani accused you and your mother of passing some sort of USB drive to each other. What was your mom actually handing you on that video?
A ginger mint.
That might explain why Rudy never produced any evidence. He kept jamming Altoids into his USB ports. This isn't working! Hand me a Ricola! The committee also played some truly moving footage of Moss's mother, who goes by the name Lady Ruby, explaining what it was like as an everyday citizen being attacked by the most powerful person in the world.
Do you know how it feels to have the President of the United States to target you? The President of the United States is supposed to represent every American, not to target one. But he targeted me, Lady Ruby.
Oh, no. Now I'm mad you don't dare target her. From this moment forward, America's gonna have to choose Lady Ruby or Shady Rudy.
Ruby got fell.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.